Jim will be joining me soon. Well, this is going to be a very one-sided conversation.
Hello, 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 hello.
Oh, you sound so much better. Could you do the two settings that you may be toggling between? Tell me when you're doing setting one.
No, the only settings were how much I was shouting at you.
Oh, right.
I went, hello, 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 hello. And then I said...
That's a little bit painful. Today, we are going to be talking about more income, less effort, because we're going to help hack your way to six figures in 6 weeks with these six simple. No, we are not.
6 rupees.
What we're going to do is we're going to have a lovely conversation with an old friend, Jim Raleigh, about his choice, his intention around this year, based on his experience of last year, about trying to, well, what I heard from him was finding some kind of bland, balanced, optimal way of working and living that would be influenced by how he priced. Let's put it that way. And so we talk about increasing your prices and all the strategies and tactics, but one of the fundamental things is why. Why do it in the first place? And what is it you're trying to achieve? And so I think this conversation, we hope, is going to be a really helpful way of understanding a why, and maybe you can connect to this why, and also understanding, well, hopefully a story as well that will give you a picture of how it can happen and what is also possible. And I think before we talk about the story, it'd be good to learn about the storyteller.
Okay. Who am I? What do I do? I'm a 37-year-old man with a wife and a dog and a baby. I live in Hastings. And what I do for work is I describe it as kind of learning strategy and learning design. So I work with different organizations to help them create and deliver learning experiences. And those organizations and clients can be huge kind of global multi-billion dollar corporate to small NGOs or startups. It's like a real range. And I've worked with a real range over what is, I suppose, my career, which is a big word. It's always kind of been a goal of mine to earn more and work less generally. I really like what I do, but I like doing other stuff as well. And the more I work, the less of that other stuff I can do. But my daughter was born just about a year and a half ago. So of course that kind of propelled me into this new life and a need to kind of think about my work slightly differently. And I was lucky enough to have 3 months off when she was born. So that was a nice period to kind of think about what I want my life to look like. And at the same time, or just this September, my partner Ellie started a master's degree, which she's doing in London. So she's up in London 4 days a week. So there's like work, baby, supporting Ellie to do that. So I'm kind of I basically earn all our money now. So it was trying to figure out a way to kind of, for us to live our life well, which I think we're incredibly lucky to be able to do, pay the mortgage, pay for the childcare, pay for all the expenses, and then also have enough flexibility for when things go wrong. Because this is kind of the thing I failed at. Last year, there was a lot of illness going around the UK towards the end of last year. And from about kind of early November to New Year, it just seemed like we were in this cycle, like one was ill and the next was ill and the next was ill. And the model, I suppose, of our life that we created didn't allow for that flexibility. So I knew that we needed a little more space. And the thing that I can change within that, I don't want to spend less time with my daughter. Ellie can't stop doing her master's. And then, you know, I don't want to stop doing the nice things I like doing. So work is the thing I have like control over to an extent. And we have, for years I've had like endless spreadsheets trying to figure out like, okay, how much do I need to earn? How much can I work? How much tax is that? Whatever. So I think we need around like 45 grand net, like after tax a year, as a family to kind of have the life we want to have. And I figured out that if I raise my rates to $550 a day, which is now my like minimum day rate. And I work 2.5 days a week at that rate, and then get some other bits of higher paid work, minus the holidays I want to take. That puts me in a pretty good place. So it was kind of like a cold, hard maths calculation, really. I just spent some time with the spreadsheet and I was like, right, I need to raise my rates. This is what my minimum rate needs to be for us to have this life and have that flexibility. So, I mean, the short, simple version is, so I did that. and here I am, having done that.
Cool. So there's the clear calculation, which is helpful. There's like a baseline that you're working towards. So there's knowing the number, and then there's getting paid that number, or even asking people to pay you that number. And I know from conversations and people we work with, that can be really hard, really difficult to do, because there's that fear of rejection, or just not knowing if, you know, whether you're pricing yourself out of the market, right, or you're looking at other people's prices and trying to compare in that sense. And it was quite interesting from our conversation how you came about not only that baseline figure, but it sounded like also you were able to get paid more than you could that.
Yeah. So I see Francis in the chat as well. He makes it sound so easy. So up to 550, that was my previous minimum was 500 a day. So that is like an incremental raise that is built on, you know, 12 years of doing this work and gaining the trust of my clients. Because that's raising that kind of baseline minimum rate. I was pretty confident that they'd say yes, partly because I've spent like a year and a half with this particular client and they really trust me. And I think they couldn't do the work they're doing without me. And there's inflation and stuff. It just felt like a kind of an easy time to ask for that. But then, there's some other bits of work where I've managed to get a much higher day rate. So there's two big corporates I'm working for. One is $1,200 a day and the other is $1,300 a day, which is like way more than I've ever got before. And the situation was I used to work quite a lot with corporates, and then, I don't know, the work was always really exciting and it took me all around the world, and it was kind of fun for a while. But at some point, and especially when Ellie got pregnant and I was thinking about the work I wanted to do, I decided I wanted to do some work that felt a little bit more purposeful. So kind of headed in that direction. But then when this new shift came where I realized I needed to work less and earn more, I kind of realized I needed to go back to those corporates, but that I needed to get more money from them, basically. And I knew the thing that enabled me to raise my rates that high was I knew that when there were some old clients that I'd worked for through an agency years ago, and I knew that that agency was charging me out at three times the fee that I was getting. So I had a pretty good relationship with this one client, and I had a really open conversation with her. It helps that they're Swedish, so they're very used to kind of direct and open conversations. But I basically said, like, look, this is what I was getting before, and I know this is what you were paying. And she said, that doesn't sound fair. And I said, no, it doesn't sound fair. What if I get twice what I'm getting and you pay two thirds of what you were paying? And she said, yes. So for me, it definitely took, I had some fear of kind of starting that conversation. £1,200 a day, like, scares me a little bit as a rate. For me, it like a lot of pressure on what I'm doing. Like, is my work worth this? Like, does it mean I have to like step up even more? But I think for them, it was like a pretty simple kind of yes. It was like, they're still getting me, and they're getting me for a bit cheaper and more flexibly. And so I think I was lucky in that in that situation. And then that gave me the confidence to, with a second corporate client, to then just kind of say, all right, this is my corporate rate. Take it or leave it. And they took it. So I've now got that baseline at 550, which is the 2.5 days a week, and then two extra half days a week with these two kind of bigger clients.
So the process, I've got to, you know, kind of reconfiguring, want to make sure things are set up appropriately. And I think it's a good aspiration, clearly, to have to work less and earn more, or earn more in the service of working less, potentially, as you were spinning, you know, given there are other things in life which are enjoyable to do. So I think, you know, that is a good wish to have. When you kind of went through the process of kind of working it out, you know, the route that you went by, you know, kind of working out what we, you know, what you needed to kind of earn. When was that? When did you do that? Was that, that was the last year, was it? You were saying that was last year?
It's something I've done pretty constantly since I set up my first business in 2008. I set it up with a friend and we didn't know what we were doing. So we kind of divided the tasks and I ended up doing the accounting. So really for the last, how long ago is 2008? Like ages.
Yeah.
I've been very close to the money and the cash flow and tinkering with all that. So yeah, I suppose that calculation I was making like over the summer, this summer just gone.
And so the process of changing your prices sounds like it's gone very well. Has it all been smooth sailing? How has that journey been?
Yeah, it kind of has been pretty smooth sailing. I feel very lucky. The three main clients I've got now, I've worked with for a while and we have a very, very trusting relationship and they know that I do great work and they want to continue to work with me. I think the challenge I will have personally is like when a new client comes along and they don't know me, I feel like I have to prove myself and it's kind of starting that relationship again. So... Yeah, I think it did feel somewhat easy, but I had these kind of little logical math things to fall back on. I was like, okay, 550 is just like 10% on what they were paying for, and the 1200 is like a discount for them technically. So in a way, it was kind of, I feel like I was in a very lucky situation that I could almost like trick myself into thinking it wasn't hard.
And I'm kind of curious just from what you were saying there, whether we come to, so what might be the next big thing?
So I've been... Yeah, since 2008, I've pretty much always freelanced, worked for myself. And over the last few years, that's meant selling my time. So working on a day rate all like 100% of the time and working on multiple projects. And what I'd like to move into is I'd like to see what it's like to not work on multiple projects, just to have the kind of total focus on one thing. And I'm just a bit done with like selling my time. I think there's like other ways of doing things. I feel like I'm on the clock. I mean, I am literally on the, not now because I'm not being paid for this, but like the rest of the time when I'm sat in this chair, the time is going. And I find like the kind of work I'm doing is not the kind of work, or I'm missing out on some kinds of work that I really like to be doing, like deep work, exploratory work, more creative work, because I'm constantly having to like, deliver to these kind of time constraints.
In really simple terms, just for my own benefit, what is a learning journey? What's a company buying?
So a company is buying my expertise and knowledge and experience in how you craft and create a learning journey that will help people to have a powerful learning experience, a kind of transformative personal experience, become a better leader, become a better team, learn about a specific topic. So I'll work with them to kind of structure a learning program, whether it's like online or in person or a bit of both, whether it's one day or 6 months. And I'll use my knowledge about kind of learning science, pedagogy to help them do that.
And the kind of thing that changes for the buying client is what often around a kind of leadership capability or a team functioning capability. Is that the thing that the client is ultimately trying to change, that the learning is in service of?
Yeah, or there's like a specific topic that some of their team need to learn about, and then we can figure out how to do that best.
Because I think when you were talking at the beginning, you were sort of talking about the range of clients, obviously from the really big to the really small. The kind of first thing which was coming to my mind, which you were getting to a little bit, is or getting to a lot, is, you know, actually the value of that work is very different to those organizations. Because if you're a big multi-billion dollar organization and, I don't know, there's whether this is actually what it is, you know, a technology or something that they need to know about, you know, the cost of not knowing about it to that organization is all the way up here. And then for an organization, maybe NGO, where there is less money in the business, less means, less resources in that way, you know, really the kind of cost of them not making progress is potentially down here. And, you know, ultimately that kind of points to all those different opportunities that you have, which you're getting to a little bit with the kind of differences in the rates that you're playing with. I'm kind of curious, what would it take for you to make a leap to not presenting the pricing that you offer them as linked to a day rate, and instead if it was linked more to the idea of project?
I haven't played with it with them. I was talking a little bit with Carlos about this, and with a friend I used to work with. I think at the moment, in people's minds, they're literally buying some time with Jim. They're like, we've got this problem, or this course is broken, or we need to make this new thing. We need like 10 days of Jim because we know Jim and like he'll come and do a good job. Whereas I think possibly to like move to the other kind of project, I need to present myself as I don't know whether it's like an agency or like a, you know, learning studio or something with a clear philosophy and a process I'll take them through. I kind of have that, but it's not clearly defined. At the moment, it's like, let's get Jim in to do some stuff. Whereas if I'm going to say, okay, 50 grand, I'll do this thing for you. I think I need a bit more of a brand or a company or something to feel confident in doing that and for them to buy that.
I'd say my kind of first one with, don't need to go, kind of, my first thought is you're probably much closer to that than you are saying you are or think you are. Because they're not just, whilst it may be in large part, we're spending time with Jim, but you know, equally, they're not just buying 10 days of Jim to sit around and drink coffee. They are, as much as they might
like hanging
out with Jim and drink coffee, they are wanting to spend time with Jim because they trust Jim to help them solve the problem. So they are solving problems and you are the means to solve that problem. And so actually you are, you know, all the ingredients that are necessary for you to kind of present that as a problem-solving package, for want of a better copyrighted phrase, actually, you are in that kind of place already. And it kind of feels to me there might be a kind of interesting leap to make there. But I don't know, Carlos, anything to pick up on all that?
There's a few things, actually. Starting from the beginning, what I heard Jim say is, like, jumping from 550 to 1,200 meant that I need to really deliver now. When, in fact, when they were paying 1,800 and you were being paid 550, you didn't have to deliver anything more. And so in a sense, there's something there. And this is hopefully for anyone, is like, you could do exactly the same thing as you're doing for 550 and still get paid 1,200 without even needing to think about anything new. So that's an internal thing, potentially. Like, oh, I'm getting paid more. So I'm anxious about needing to deliver more, as opposed to what made it so easy for you to go for 1,200 is like, they were paying 1,800 anyway. So they're getting a discount. So there's this whole thing about the number and the actual work and the outcome. And how that's, you can unattach that to a certain degree in given that circumstance. So they may have $5,000 a day in their budget for work that you think was only $550.
One of the interesting things about the corporate work is it ended up being much more relaxing than the other stuff. Like the work I'm doing is it's much more like advisory. And kind of coaching and challenging them, bringing in new ideas. Whereas with the stuff I have 2.5 days a week, it's very hands-on, solving problems, like fixing things. I'm doing much. The work is very different on that project. Like actually the higher paid stuff is like really nice. Like the work is, I don't know what to say easier, but it's like different and less stressful.
Well, this comes to like, what are they buying from you? What I was hearing is like, on one hand, they're buying 10 days of my time. Well, I think particularly the companies that have worked with you, they're buying a level of safety. They know Jim. They know Jim can deliver. They know Jim's capabilities. Jim's capabilities, I'm assuming, are matching their needs. And so they're buying a lot more than your time. And there's something in that, which means you don't have to deliver more. You don't have to do more. It sounds like you're just needing to be there to create safety for them because you are a wise, experienced learning designer and learning strategist. And with that, you know, you're talking about going to other clients and other customers and like, oh, no, how do I do this? It's like, you have a unique set of skill, a la Liam Neeson in Taken. You know how to create a certain outcome very, very well. So, and that may be something you can do with your eyes closed. And this kind of speaks to what I heard was the boredom you were experiencing before you went into doing the NGO stuff. But there is a process that you have that you know that you can guarantee delivery on. And so there's no ambiguity or no uncertainty. You don't have to worry about whether it's going to happen or not. So if someone says, I want to pay $50,000 for that outcome to happen, because you know you can make that outcome happen, you don't have to worry about stepping up or doing more already. Like, I can make that happen. And if you want to pay me $50,000, fine, because I know I can do that. And I'm very, very clear. And I don't have to be a limited company. I don't have to this, that. I just need to demonstrate that I can make that happen, or tell other people can demonstrate that I've made that happen. And so, yeah, there's the, in a sense, stepping back a bit to that previous thing about what your current clients are buying from you. Like, to a certain degree, you are more valuable to your current clients, to the new clients possibly, because they want to hold on to you. They owe you. Could be. And what I'm speaking to anyone is like, value is not just, there's other ways to determine the value of Jim, other than just your knowledge or your time, and potentially even just the outcome.
Yeah, and I would say that, yeah, so clearly there are many ways to value Jim, and almost none of them are time, actually. I think there's the convenience in that for clients, particularly there's a convenience, because whenever anyone's buying anything, it's filled with ambiguity. And so what tends to happen is we default to the time thing, because it's a way of putting a container around something. Because otherwise it's like, well, I don't know, I'm fine buying a fucking blancmange, and it's just too confusing. So we kind of default to time, because it lends the kind of idea of some sort of certainty. But like we talk about, and they may enjoy the fact that they get to spend 10 days with you, but that enjoyment is the more important thing there, more than it is the time. There's all those other things that we've sort of spoken about: the safety, the feeling of security, the knowledge, the insight, the experience, the expertise, and the fact that all of those things together allow for the organization, big or small, to actually solve the problem that they want to solve. That those people who needed to know that thing, or the process that was stopping people know that thing is kind of removed. So all of those, you know, that is the value of Jim. And I think the kind of interesting thing that, you know, the leap that you've already kind of made kind of does suggest that more leaps are possible. And it's kind of interesting, you know, the experience that you had going to, all the questions that you had are the kind of questions that kind of everyone has, which is, you know, they are our own, aren't they? They are our own kind of doubts around it. I'll have to do more. I'll have to be busy. I'll have to stuff more in somehow to make it three times more valuable than it was before. But, you know, these are just our own measures. And the more we can be distanced from our own measure, our own story, the more we can actually better understand what it is that why the client wants to spend more time with Jim. Because there is something, there's always something else they're trying to change. And that's the thing, you know, that's the space we want to be in. What is the thing they want to change? And spending time with Jim is their means to changing it.
I totally agree. And if I've learned anything from the last decade, is that my assumptions about what kind of expectations people will have on a price and what kind of work they'll have to do are generally always wrong. You're totally right. Those things are totally disconnected. I think that a moment that always sticks with me when I set up my first company in 2008 with a friend. We were like running our projects in primary schools all over the country. And we didn't know what we were doing. So like originally we were charging $120 a day for two of us to go into a school. We did that for about a year. Obviously we weren't making much money. And then we did some spreadsheeting and realized that we'd have to start charging £300 a day for one of us in order for it to be a viable business. And we just changed that overnight, and the schools were still happy to pay for it. And that was schools in 2009, immediately after financial crisis. They were happy with like over a, what's that? That's like a quadrupling of the rate, essentially. And that I remember that just blowing my mind. It's like, oh, right, I can just ask for more, or like money connected to value doesn't really mean anything.
And there is a story of value I'm hearing, and that story potentially being different to different people. And so for you, there's a story of what we need in order to have a sustainable business. And I'm assuming for certain schools, there's a story of what we need to pay in order to get these kids to do the thing that we need to get them. And budgets that are available. And what I'm hoping anyone listening to this will get is actually, unless you uncover those other stories through conversation, through inquiry, through just being a bit maybe open and curious, you'll always go with your own story, and there's a good chance that might be wrong. And so trying to remove some of these assumptions that it is the work. Mm-hmm. And for us, even with the happy pricing course, you know, we do this course. It's like, yeah, we're teaching skills because, oh, you learn your skills, you learn, you get this knowledge. But ultimately, the success of anyone going through that program is them pricing more. And if that's just one conversation with Ben, fine. Or if that is, you know, five lessons with sort of the course and working through it, that's fine. But ultimately, as long as they price more or price well compared to before, then they got value. So yeah, adding this whole idea that Ben was talking about, what's the change? How does the customer perceive the value of that change? And then how does that customer place a number on that value?
Yeah.
And what's our role in that? How do we help with that?
Yeah. Because I think I'm really, if I do a bit of work on it, I think I can clearly communicate the change that I can make to people and client and organizations. But the work I need to do is to like decouple my brain from thinking in day rates. It's so deeply ingrained. And for them as well, it's just so deep. It's going to take me a while to figure that out and do it. But I think for me, it's like my path to doing better work, earning more, working less. Like I'm working on a project at the moment where there's an exit. We're basically fixing something that someone else made that isn't very good. And I was just like digging through some old documents and found the original proposal from the organization that made this thing. And it was $100,000 they charged for this thing that we are now spending 2 months to fix. And you know, the budget for us isn't $100,000. It's like $100,000 to make something that isn't even that good. It was a real like moment for me. I was like, shit, okay, give me $100,000 and I'll make you something fucking amazing. Like, come on.
I feel the need, Ben, for us to do a day rate decoupling day retreat. Yeah, fully immersive session.
Brain, deprogramming.
Day rate deprogramming.
Deprogramming, there you go.
You're right, Ben. It's so clear and addictive and like, it's just so simple. Like, I reckon that'll take 10 days. This is my rate. It's just so such an easy route.
Yeah. And easy for everyone. Everyone likes easy.
And I think this is it. This is the deconditioning aspect of it. And then how that then frees us up, of course, and all the related stories that come with the money and the value and the imposter syndrome. And also the clarity of what you want. I think that's the thing I got from where we started. Is like you knew what you wanted by raising your prices and work. There was something that you're working towards other than just having more money. The way we're going to do it, I'm going to invite each of you to just close off with any final thoughts.
I think I'm leaving with even more clarity about the next step in my career, that it is to kind of move towards a different way of doing things, which will enable me to do better and different work and like change the industry in the way that I think it needs to be changed. Because at the moment, I'm not able to have that impact in doing what other people want me to do to an extent. So I've got some like opinions about how my world should be, and it's probably time to share them and make it happen. And then I suppose for anyone like who thinking about raising their rates, I find such security in having that spreadsheet that just tells me in black and white, this is how much you need to charge and this is how many days you need to work in order to have the money to live the life you want. And that just gives me such security and like helps me get over that fear of asking for more. Cause it's like, okay, the math says this. So this is how I need to make sure it has to be.
And the overriding thing, which was just reminding coming for me, is just the kind of fundamental point that all value is subjective. What we think is different to what our clients think is different over and over and over and over again. Whether you're talking day rates, whether you're talking about buying a project, whatever it may be, all value is subjective. So our work and opportunity is firstly to know and understand that. And then secondly, act on the consequences of that, which is, oh, what I need to do is understand what value means according to them via their lens.
I will add on to that in terms of the thing that I'm curious about now is how we talk about certainty or how we create certainty and how we decondition ourselves from the certainty of the day rate. But what do we replace that with? how do we take away this crutch that's so easy to use that we lean on to say, oh, it's this many days, so that's why it costs this much. But there must be something that to replace it, also just all falls on. And so what are the stories that our clients need to hear and our customers need to hear to make them feel more confident about choosing us and not question, oh, but how many days are you working? So that's one I want to ponder. Thank you, Bud. I am leaving with more questions than answers, but I hope some of you who are listening have more answers than questions. If not,
sorry.
Until next time, thank you very much, Jim. Really appreciate it.
Thanks gang.
And,
thank you.